Yes, a 2-week hiatus, but yes, we are back. Your fun, lovable podcasters here at Front Row Material and Front Row Referee are coming back into your world better than ever. Got a big, big show for you coming up this week. Going to talk about, yeah, we're going to do it too. CM Punk, we're going to talk about what the fallout of the All Out footage was. What does it look like from an AEW perspective, WWE perspective? What's the rest of the world saying about it as well? We're also in our second hour going to be talking to the referees about WrestleMania. Everybody kind of came and took over Philadelphia. And what were the shows they ref? What were the crowds like? I also went to AEW Collision this past Saturday night. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that and hopefully dispel some rumors about AEW live shows. All of that and so much more. But before that, let's go ahead and let's bring him in. He's my brother from another mother. He's from a better place than I am. His name is Christopher Butt. What's going on, man?
This is it, Mike. Been a couple of weeks. Actually, it's been 3 weeks for me now. Good to see you again. Good to be back. And yeah, things are good. I had nothing to complain about, man. Could be better. Could be worse. I'm on the right side of the ground. Good enough for me.
What it's all about. It's all about staying healthy and happy and positive and everything else can take care of itself.
Pretty much.
So there's so many things that are happening right now in wrestling. Man, I don't even know really where to start, but I guess the big thing would be, you know, let's kind of catch everybody up on at least what our take is on the all-in footage that AEW chose to release. So we're going to talk to the referees about WrestleMania week, but, you know, they have press row on WrestleMania week, much like they do with the Super Bowl. And a lot of the talent go to various podcasts and radio shows, and they talk about stuff. Well, CM Punk decided to sit down with Ariel Helwani with the MMA Hour. And let me ask you something, Butzer. Did you get to hear some of the interview and what Punk had to say?
I didn't hear it. I read it, just you know, tidbits online and whatnot. I'm okay with it. I don't think he went offside. Me and you are totally going to argue about this. I know we are now. It's going to be good.
So for those of you who might not be super familiar with it, All Out was AEW's big event. Some people will call it their version of WrestleMania. Now, it's normally Double or Nothing that is their big show of the year, but now it looks like it's changed to All Out is going to be, is it All Out or is it All In? God, I get the two confused. All In. It's All In. All Out's the week after. And I don't know. It just kind of took on a life of itself, and we'd heard about all of these things. And what had happened when Jungle Boy Jack Perry in the opening match decided that he was going to look in the camera and say, "Cry me a river, this is real glass." And for all of you who are probably wondering, what did he mean by that? Perry has wanted to do an angle for many weeks on TV leading up to All In last year, and it looks like Punk was actually given some level of authority. Did you hear about that as well when it came to the creation of Collision?
Yes, well, Collision was made for Punk.
Yeah, so Punk had some input as far as yay or nay on some things, and now that has kind of been understood a little bit better through this interview, we understand that he nixed it. He said, "You want to do that kind of stuff? Do it on Wednesday nights, but not on my show." And other people had also, according to Punk, told him no. Now, we've never heard from Tony Schiavone that he said that he told Jungle Boy not to do something. Do you think we'll ever hear from Tony Schiavone to talk about this anymore? Because he seems very just done with it.
Nope. Tony's never going to bring it up. Tony's professional. Tony's old school. Tony's from the kayfabe generation. Tony's not going to bring it up. Or if he does, it's going to be years down the road. After AEW closes their doors and he's gone his merry way. That's right, you heard me. And Tony's gone on back to baseball or hanging out with Lois or whatever it would be. Tony's a professional. I'm being a smart ass here now, but the gist of it is, no, Tony really is a professional.
Right.
Like him or hate him, I personally have to think Tony Schiavone's amazing. But he is from that generation to where they kept him off shut. The dirt sheets, I can't see Tony back in the day spreading to the dirt sheets or now, and I think Tony's going to just say nothing. Or it's going to be, like you said, in a book, many years down the road, stuff like that. You're not going to hear nothing from him. Even if you asked him about it, he'd probably ignore you. Or just feed you some bullshit answer, some corporate answer.
Yeah,
I mean, he's from that.
I agree with that. He is old school, and there's no real point in dredging something up that doesn't really need to be dredged up again. Let me ask you this. When you saw the footage, and you said you've also read the transcripts of the interview, do you feel like what Punk said matched up with what we saw?
Yes.
To what degree?
Me personally, I cannot quote the transcripts, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm not prepared for that.
I mean, do you think he was honest the way he told his side of the story as opposed to the video that came out?
Yeah, I think he was. I think Punk actually doesn't look that bad in this. I know this is probably where we're about to butt heads for and have some laughs, but I think it was blown out of proportion. I don't think it was that bad. Tony claiming he feared for his life. Come on, man. That wasn't that bad. They got into a scuffle. Yeah, Punk went after him. Punk pushed him. Should he have? No, probably not. It's a locker room. Big difference in a locker room and corporate America or corporate Canada or however you want to look at it. Things are a little bit different in locker rooms. I've been in a lot of locker rooms. And honestly, that was pretty tame for some of the stuff I've seen and been involved in. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but man, it really wasn't that bad. I don't see it as a big deal.
I don't think you and I are going to butt heads as much as you may think. And maybe this might bring a surprise to you. Yes. So here's my take on the situation. Obviously, context is everything. We don't know who said what because there was no audio on the footage. So we're going to basically have to take what people say for their word. We have yet to hear what Jungle Boy has to say about the whole situation. I mean, I wonder at some point if we'll hear what he has to say. Now, let's keep in mind. Let's really take this in mind. I don't think anyone would disagree by saying CM Punk might not be the most credible person in the wrestling industry as far as, quote unquote, speaking the truth. There seems to be quite a lot of stretching that goes on. However, the way I look at it is, you're right. When it comes from a locker room and a sports perspective, think about it. With training camp in the NFL, we always hear that flares happen on the field all the time. In training camp, man, they have fisticuffs. They have it out with each other. It's just the competitive nature of sports. You talked about it with hockey. When you have alpha males playing a sport and there's a clash or whatever it may be. Now, also throw in with athletes travel as well. Let's also take in injury, fatigue, all of that. It doesn't take a whole lot to set somebody off. Let's be honest here. So in the realm of sports, no, it was absolutely not anything that would be out of the ordinary or terrible or anything like that. And a big reason why I say that is nobody was injured. No one was injured as far as what we've been told. We haven't heard anything, you know, that either one of them either had to go to the doctor or whatever like that. So that's the first thing. Everybody was safe. So yes, I agree with you on that perspective. However, and you and I both know this, you work in corporate America
or Canada.
Corporate Canada. You know all of that stuff. You work with the suits. You know how you have to change the way you are when you're around certain people and whatnot. You know that you can't go to work and get pissed off with one of your colleagues. Well, okay. So here's the deal.
There have been episodes.
Yes. Bad example. I can't go to school to my high school that I teach at, and I can't get upset with one of my coworkers, another teacher, let's say, and then all of a sudden I go after them, and then all of a sudden the principal shows up, and then I get in his face. No. That's just not going to fly. Do you realize I'll be shown the door immediately?
Well, so would I. I mean, there's a heated discussion between coworkers.
Right.
That's one thing. However, if it turns into, you know, fuck you, Mike, I'm going to beat your head in. You know, like if you cross that line,
correct,
that can't happen. If you have an argument, I don't know. I don't have a big issue with that. Yeah, it's not professional. Yeah, you're probably going to get a browbeating from HR or upper management or whatever. But that's probably about all it's really going to be. You know, listen, Mike, you can't tell whoever it is to kiss your ass, or you can't tell them to fuck yourself, or whatever it is. And that's true. You can't in any environment. Realistically, you know, any professional environment, you probably shouldn't act like that. Sports is a different creature.
It is.
But in any, hell, even if you're looking at working at a, what's that gas station you talk about? Valero. You can't go into work tomorrow morning and whoever the night guy is, you get into an argument and tell him to fuck yourself and go right off the deep end. You can't. Have a heated discussion, that's one thing. That's just going to happen because we're people. You know, tempers flare, whether it be a temper issue or just a personality clash or whatever it is, it's going to happen. But there are varying degrees. I know I've had heated discussions at work before, but it's never been, you son of a bitch, I'll beat your head in.
Well, correct.
No, Jesus, you're getting gassed for that. Like, you're correct. Done. Right? You come to work tomorrow, just, here's a box, pack your shit in your office, you're done, here's your severance, bye-bye.
Yep.
So there are varying degrees. Because whenever you get umpteen people in an office, or school, or where the hell you work, people aren't always going to get along. Personalities are going to clash. Amen. Tempers are going to flare.
Yes.
You know, stress is going to happen. Whatever it would be. And people are going to get into it. That's just the way it is. But it's all in how you handle it and how far you go if you get into an argument.
Well, let me ask you this question. So this kind of takes us into that next portion of this whole discussion. You know, Tony Khan saying he feared for his life. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say, and let's use the world of hockey because it's the most brutal sport. I mean, it's worse than football. You guys are allowed to bash each other's teeth out if you wish. I mean, fighting is actually allowed. So, let's say you have a head coach. Well, it wouldn't be the case because most head coaches have been around the sport for forever. But let's just say, for example, there was an assistant, right? Mm-hmm. That is quiet, is meek, is not that, you know, alpha male type of person. If somebody who's charged up, adrenaline rushing, hormones going, gets up into somebody's face and starts saying certain things to them, mm-hmm. Tony could probably end up shaking like a leaf. Would you agree with me on that? I'm sure if you got really pissed off, you could literally never touch someone, but you literally could scare them to the point where they legitimately thought something was going to happen in that moment. Would you agree? Because not everybody's cut from the same cloth as far as being able to handle that stuff.
Yeah, some people can. But Jesus, Mike. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess I'm not wired like that. And I couldn't see two guys, if we're... For me, okay? So I'm in Tony Khan's situation. And two guys get into it. And it gets broken up. I can't see it, especially from the video we see. Once again, we don't know what was said. But I can't imagine something being said so bad that I witnessed it and I feared for my life. I think that's Tony maybe blown a little out of proportion. Or he has no backbone whatsoever. Because nobody even went after him. It's not like Punk chased him down the tunnel.
No, he didn't. Because Punk
jumped across a table after him or whatever it would be. No, he needs to grow up. Sorry. It's just, I don't see it as a big deal.
I'm just saying, could there be a possibility where somebody works in a profession that is, you know, the epitome of non-confrontational, the whole nine yards, and somebody literally gets up in their face and scares the crap out of them?
Not like that, no. I don't think so. I mean, I've never seen it. And I've been in hockey locker rooms. I've been in boxing locker rooms. I mean, when I talk about alpha males, that's about as two as it gets. And I've seen arguments. I've seen fist fights. And I've seen boxers take off their gloves, take off their hand wraps, and go at it right in the locker room, bare knuckle. You know, this just, it happens, unfortunately. I can't see somebody being that afraid. No.
Do you think that Do you think that if let's start talking about some other wrestling promoters or owners, we know Vince would not stand down to that. If anything, it would escalate him even more. But let's talk about, what about Eric Bischoff back in the WCW days? Now he seems to have really he's become a shill for WWE in a lot of ways. I mean, he's pro, he's anti anything that is anything other than the universe. But do you think in 1997 when he first got into it, if some people got into his face, that he might cower down?
Maybe back down a bit first when he got into it. Yes, I could see that. But there's a big difference in backing down because you're a little bit intimidated, maybe, or you just don't know how to handle the situation, and claiming to be afraid for your life. When somebody's afraid for their life, Mike, that's a big statement, man.
Like, Do you think that's
huge?
Well, and we talked about this just a minute ago. Depends on what was being said, right? So let's say if somebody says, and I'm just spitballing this, right? I have no idea what was said. You know, I'm going to reach across that table and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to do this to you, or I'm going to do that to you, or I'm going to, you know, who knows? Obviously, he wouldn't really mean that. People say that as a.
I can't see it. From that video, I can't see it. Especially considering it was broke up pretty quick. Jerry was in there. Joe was in there. Other people in there pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want Samoa Joe irritated with me and grabbing hold.
No.
Because I got a funny feeling he'll put you wherever he feels like putting you. He strikes me as a guy that would slap the piss out of you.
No, I agree with you.
Right. So, no, I can't see that. I could never, no, unless, now, if you're some teenage kid and you're in the locker room with Mike Tyson back in the day, maybe. But that's mainly because you're a kid. If you're a grown man, I just don't see it. That's just my take on it. But once again, it's a lot of how people are wired too. But I just couldn't see somebody saying something so harsh to me that I was afraid for my life. It strikes me as a bit of a stretch. That's all.
Well, and that's fair, and that's why these discussions are good, because the truth lies somewhere in between, like they say. He said one thing, she said the other, and the truth is somewhere between both stories. But again, just really quickly, let's just kind of hear, what did CM Punk have to say regarding what happened that day leading up to it, and what was his thoughts?
You arrive in London.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about this. Yeah, go ahead.
How does that go? What happens?
There's nobody there to pick me up, and it's not a big deal. I just got on the tube and I was like, adventure, you know,
and you have to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. But that part was fun, but it's completely irresponsible as a company to, you know, leave somebody stranded at the airport. But, you know, I understand the sentiments, you know, people, you know, all the smarties on Twitter, like, oh, can't you just take an Uber? Will you, big crybaby? I never cried about it once. Not once.
How do people find out about these things?
Well, there were fans on the tube.
Okay.
They're taking pictures. Okay. You know, like, I'm sitting there. I'm just sitting on the tube, and I'm just like, this is neat.
You feel like an adult?
I'm still the guy. I when I fly in and out of Chicago, I take the blue line home.
Right.
I'm not trying to, you know, be super fancy and shit like that.
Where are you backstage? Jack Perry's on screen, and he says, real glass. Why don't you cry about it? Where are you when this is said?
I was in my locker room.
Did you feel like that was directed at you?
Yes.
Why?
Because it obviously was directed at me.
Well, because, okay, so for those that may not know, apparently he had a trip planned. He wanted to use glass. You were consulted. You said, why would you use glass? Correct me, you lived it. So I'm trying to bring people up to speed.
This is one of those things where it's just like, there's all these rumors about NDAs.
Yes.
There's a big difference between not being allowed to talk about some shit or just not wanting to talk about some shit. I don't necessarily want to litigate this again.
You say again, you've never talked about it publicly. But
no,
you mean like
I guess I haven't, but that's the thing. So Tony's big idea was separate show. We're going to separate everybody. And I said, that'll never work. Just let me go. is get me out of here. Just pay me my money. I've already been off TV. I hurt this arm. Just get me out of here. You know, no, I can't let you go. Why? Just let me go. Who cares? It's best. I mean, these guys don't want me here. This isn't a real business. This isn't a business predicated on making money, drawing money, selling tickets, you know, doing business. It's not what it was sold to me as. So let me go. No, I can't let you go. I'm going to do this new show. You're going to have blah, blah, blah. And then the second day we have this show, I'm sitting in catering, minding my own business. And Tony Schiavone comes and gets me. And he's like, hey, I really need your help. And I was like, what? He's like, Jack is, you know, cussing me out. And he's cussed out Mike Mansuri. And he cussed out Daryl from production. And he's cussing out the doctor right now. Why? What? And I was immediately like, dude isn't supposed to be here. You know, I was told people are getting separated, so there's not problems, and you don't want me involved in this because, just like everything else I've explained before, like, y'all need to handle this, because if you don't, I'm going to handle it, and you're not going to like the way I handle it. Prophetic words. So he's begging me. Now, please, he drags me out of catering. I go up. Hook and Jack are doing an angle. I don't know anything about Jack going on vacation. All I know is there's a litany of people that don't want, they work one day a week and they don't want to. So they want to show up and wrestle and then film vignettes and then sit at home for 4 weeks. Great. Not my company. Do what you want. But not on my show. That was my attitude. So I said, Tony, you really want me doing this? Yeah. And I walked up to Jack and he was sitting in a car. What he wanted to do is, it was a rental car. What he wanted to do was smash the window of the rental car with a pipe. And I was just like, it's a rental car. And I very politely, because I like Jack, I was just like, Doc's told you no, Daryl's told you no, Mike's told you no, Shivani's told you no, and now I have to tell you no. And apparently you've cussed them all out. So I'm telling you no. We don't do that here. If you want to do this, go to Wednesday and do it. Right. And he had no problem. He said, okay. He said, well, I just thought it was a really cool idea. And I said, it might be, but this is a rental car. Boys ruin it for the boys. You're going to smash the window of a rental car and you're going to return it with no fucking window. And now whatever national budget hurts, whatever, is going to be like, don't rent cars to pro wrestlers anymore. This is a thing that's happened.
Right.
This is, you know, so I wasn't trying to throw my weight around. I wasn't like, this is my show and you gotta get out of here. I was just like, this is fucking dumb, man. And he wanted to do it because so he didn't have to fly back to Canada. And I, you know, sorry, man. We're privileged to be in this business. We're privileged to do this for a living. Like, I get it. I didn't want to go to Canada either. All the flights were delayed, canceled. Everybody's travel sucked. But to come to this new show when everyone's supposed to be separated, to get rid of all the drama, and then, you know, swearing at the doctor because the doctor's like, it's real glass. You're going to, you know, like, shit's going to go in your eye. Like, and I get it. I used to be that kid that was like young and I want to do this, you know, but there's a safe way to do it. And I politely explained that to him. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't cuss at him. I was just like, I very much just said, we don't do that here. This is Saturday. It's a different show. You want to do stuff like this? Do it on Wednesday. That was it. I didn't think there was going to be a problem. He obviously took something very business-minded, very personally. And that's fine, because I've done that before too. But it's very much who he's friends with. And, you know, shit never got squashed. Nobody's in charge. And it turned into what it turned into.
So he says that, clearly a shot at you, as you said. Match is over. He goes to the back. What happens?
I went to Tony and I was just like,
which Tony, by the way,
Khan.
Okay.
And I was like, please handle that. Like, please. And he was like, what do you want me to do? And I was like, I'm not telling you what to do. Just be the boss, please. Like, I'm tired of this shit. You know, like, I told you this was a mistake. I told you separate shows wasn't going to work. And now we're all here. And, you know, like, please handle it. Cause if you don't, you're not going to like the way I handle it.
Did he handle it?
No. No.
So you did?
Yeah.
What happened?
Jack came back from his match. I was the next match. I'm sitting there. I got people with me. I'm not going to say who they are, you know, because I got a lot of friends who work there, and I wish them all well, and I don't want them to be punished because they're friends with me, you know. And I walk up to them, and I'm just like, Jack, why do you insist on doing this dumb internet shit, like on TV, you know? And he's just like, well, if you got a problem about it, do something about it. And I was just like, man, come on, man. You know, I'll fucking kill you. Like, what are we doing? You know? And it just, you know, it's like Chael says, sometimes you just can't let you get close. You know, I thought I was doing a responsible thing. You know, I didn't punch anybody. I just choked somebody a little bit. Samoa Joe was there, told me to stop. And then I quit. I turned to Tony and I said, this place is a fucking joke, man. You're a clown. I quit. I went to my room, and then Joe and Jerry Lynn came and got me, and they're like, let's just go out there and kill it. Let's just, and I was just too fired up, and I'm fired up now, and I'm probably going to regret, you know, talking about all this shit, but that's what happened.
Okay. So for those that don't know, you actually did go out and wrestle.
Yes.
Is that all just a blur for you, that match? Do you even remember?
No, that match is, I was just like, this is the last time I'm ever going to wrestle Samoa Joe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is my last match in this company.
You knew that?
Yeah. I quit. I said, I fucking quit.
So why did you even go out?
For Joe.
Right.
For Joe, for Paul Turner, the referee, for Jerry Lynn, the agent on the match, because I, you know, respect him, and I thought it was the professional thing to do. All the fans, you know, a lot of fans there.
Yeah.
You know, probably a lot of them to see me, you know. So go out there and give them a show.
100,000 fans, right?
I don't know. You have to check the turnstile count.
All right. So that's kind of where we are. I know a lot of us have probably already heard that. Numerous times. There's some discrepancies that I have here, and a punch was thrown. And when he says I kind of just choked somebody out a little bit, can't be choking people. Now, my thought was this as well. It never seemed when I watched the footage that the conversation ever gotten heated. And when I watched the footage, I noticed that Jack went to go ahead, and a lot of people had observed this, to go ahead and move his hair out of his face because he's got really long hair. And that's when he got punched. And a lot of people say, oh, great. You waited for somebody to have their guard down to go ahead and jack them, and then all of a sudden start choking them. The point is this. If you were so frustrated, who cares? At that point, why even walk up to somebody? Just be like, whatever, and just kind of hang out in your own zone. Do your match, and if you know you're probably going to quit or leave, then just do it that way. Like, I feel like in some ways, yes, he wanted Tony to do something. He wanted Tony to be the boss. But he almost takes on this, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fix it if no one else is going to fix it. And that's kind of the problem. It's not your job. It is not as your place. So let's say I got really pissed off with somebody. I'd walk away. Now, would I walk away and kind of seethe and whatnot? Yes. But there is zero point. It wasn't going to fix anything, right? No matter whether this interaction between them happened or not, it wasn't going to change anything. He did punch somebody. He did choke somebody. That's not okay in any way, shape, or form. It never seemed to got heated in the entire conversation. Harry didn't even put his hands on him.
No, Punk was definitely the aggressor.
Yes.
From the video, it looked like he was the aggressor. He's the one that came onto the screen.
That's not good.
No. Now, we don't know how far was he off the screen. Maybe he was just, you know, two steps away from being in camera. No, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, okay? Maybe Jack, when he was going through, beeped off at him because he was already being a bit of a dick to stir the pot, looking into the camera. So maybe, we don't know, Mike. Don't give me that look.
No,
but I get that look all the time from my wife, and I don't need it from you too. No, but you don't know. Maybe he beeped off at him, so Punk just went over to, you know, argue. No, maybe Punk went over with the expectation of a fist cuff. Maybe he just went over to punch him in the mouth. You don't know. I don't know.
Again, there's a lot of things we'll never have the answer to. However, I do feel like you take the Tony Khan, I fear for my life situation out of the context.
Because it was bullshit, just for record.
Hey, everyone is entitled to feel how they want to feel, right? We talked about this, but man, he did wrong.
Oh, I agree.
Let me ask you in this context. Say this was in WWE. Now, a lot of people would say, well, this would never happen in WWE. They would have protocols and this and that. Let's just say, would he be shit canned?
Both of them would be. Jack would have got it for pulling that bullshit.
For pulling
and looking in the camera. After just stirring the pot saying whatever he said, cry me a river. This is real glass, cry me a river or whatever. Because if you really want to get down to it, okay, none of this would have ever happened in WWE. It would have been a moot point.
Well, okay.
First off, Vince or whoever would be Bruce, so on so forth, you know, Shane Helms, whoever else is back there, would have said, no, you're not doing the glass. Or, yes, you are doing the glass. Whatever it is, that would have been it.
Gosh,
nobody in WWE is pulling that bullshit.
No, I'm not. What I am saying is, though, I'm saying that Hangman Page didn't get reprimanded from the alleged going off script. And he talks about that in the interview. Mm-hmm. He says the two of us sat down. We hammered out what we were going to say to each other. All of a sudden, he starts going completely against what we agreed to. I'm having to think on my feet what I'm going to say. I have my own sentiments about that as well. I do feel like Hangman probably did go into business. I do feel like there was this general tension when Punk came in. And I think the tension might have been to some degree his past track record. And also the fact that Tony's a big fan of his. And what's going to happen to all the people who've busted their ass leading up to this point? And now you're giving the keys to the kingdom to this guy who's just walked in. So I think there's a lot of mixtures of emotions there. I don't ever think it was a relationship that was destined to work. I really don't. And the more we hear about Tony not, quote unquote, being a boss, if it happens once or twice, I get it. Somebody could just be upset. But when it happens multiple times, and you hear it from multiple people, that there doesn't seem to be a lot of law and order and control and stability, you have to start asking yourself the question, is this person best fit to be in a leadership position? So it's a whole can of worms, but I want to talk to it about you. I got your take on it now, and we're going to throw it to the guys who are now joining us, Ref Nick Papa G, who's going to be with us, and Jim Molino. Let's go ahead and bring these guys on right now. Jim, you've heard some of the conversation here so far, and it's probably been talked about to the point where it's ridiculous. In ECW, you've seen a million times worse than this. And I was talking to Harry Slash on Twitter, and he was basically telling me, you know, there's been way worse, and I've seen way worse. You know, this is nothing. This is people just having a disagreement and whatnot. However, we are long gone from the days of ECW. We are now in the world where really can't be putting your hands on employees. Can't be really saying stuff to the boss. I'm not going to draw this out to a long segment, but what was your thoughts on the whole situation? Did you feel like Perry was in the wrong? Do you think Punk was in the wrong? Do you think they both were in the wrong? Do you think Tony was in the wrong for not handling it? What was your take when all this came out and then finally the footage aired?
I think Tony was in the wrong a long time ago because he doesn't have the balls to say, no, don't do that. Jack Perry is a little pussy who refuses to listen to a veteran who knows what the hell he's doing. And unfortunately, you need to do that in this business. Have respect for the veterans, which no one there has. All the veterans that are there are working, who work behind the scenes, are about ready to have conniptions, because they're whatever they say that, you know, whatever they suggest, they're laughed at and not told, you know, told, you know, they're too old, they don't know what they're doing. I also think you can't compare the wrestling business, no matter how corporate it's become, you cannot compare it to any other business in the world. WCW was corporate, right? Correct? You would all believe that, right? They were a corporately owned company. So how would things were handled then? A prime example, Paul Orndorff and Vader had a dispute. They were told to go into an empty room and handle it, and it was handled. Paul Orndorff walked out, so did Vader, but Vader had a black eye and a fat lip, and that was the end of it. And that's how things should be done today, still today. If it's done in a room where nobody sees what the hell happens, then it works. It doesn't work if you go into someone's locker room with your brother, your elite member, your vice president of legal to start a fight. You go in and say, hey, you got something to say? Yeah, I got something to say. And here comes my fist down your throat. And it's handled. And that's the end of it. But these little wusses that, you know, play Cirque Soleil on TV on Wednesday nights don't believe in the way things should be in the business. I'm sorry that it should happen at an independent show like that. If somebody's not going to listen to what I say or blow off what I say or that because I'm too old and I'm out of it. I've been in the business for 35 years, and if I've seen stuff that's worked for 35 years, it's still going to work when I say you should probably do it.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing. I'm agreeing with you, and I can tell Nick is ready. Nick is ready as well. And this is why
I don't even know the topic.
We're talking about.
I was off camera, sorry.
We're going backstage here, CM Punk, Jack Perry situation. Cool. So from the Butster and I's perspective, we're looking at it from a viewer standpoint. You guys work in the industry. You've known this stuff, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. What's bullshit? What's not? Hey, be an adult. Handle your shit the right way. What was your take on it as far as the altercation, the fight, whatever it was? Do you think it was blown out of proportion?
I think it was to a certain extent. I'm like, you know, you're putting that footage on TV, but you're putting the footage on there with no sound. You literally have no idea what either one of them were actually saying to each other or anything like that. You know, that stuff should be behind closed doors. I'm like, talent has, you know, a locker room, you know, do it there. Like you're doing it out in the open. I'm like, you have no idea, you know, how many cameras are, you know, going on, you know, backstagers. Cameras all over the place, you know, obviously, as you could tell, you know, on there. I also think it was a big, you know, a big ratings ploy, to be honest with you, just to watch their show. That's literally how it is. And Jim's house is falling apart as we speak right now.
My house is not falling apart.
No, I'm
being let out.
That's the boss right there. That's the boss.
I had to let see it as an easy shot there. No, but getting back to that, I'm like, you know, do this stuff behind closed doors. You know, don't do it in the open. You know, where everybody can see, you know, cameras galore and stuff like that. But like I said, I'm like, I think it was more of a ratings ploy than anything else. I'm like, here, look at, you know, look at our show. I'm like, please, we need ratings more than 800,000 people, you know, to watch our show, you know. And then he's going to double down on it when somebody asks him a question about it. He's going to keep on talking about it. Look, oh, it's, you know, it's a Young Bucks FTR deal. I'm like, but what does Punk and Perry have to do with that? Well, I don't get it.
You made CM Punk the highest rated segment on your show.
Yeah, and it doesn't even work for you.
And you didn't even mention his name.
No, of course not. I'm like, obviously, you know, that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, legally, dummies. You can't. You know, but I'm like, too, you know, the funny thing, too, on top of that was, you know, I watched the footage on there and there was two referees in the background, you know, one of them that, you know, I don't really prefer or anything like that. and you watch them basically take a dive and run the other way. I'm like, you know, Jim and I know, but I'm like, we're referees in a worked atmosphere, but we're also officials backstage. It's only a gimmick out in the cat, you know, in front of the camera, but we still got to keep order backstage too.
Yeah, ECW was a little different. You know, if something were to happen backstage, it would, you know, your friends would, you know, pull you apart from the other guy, and his friends would grab him.
But that's not just in wrestling. I grew up playing hockey.
There's absolutely no control over anything.
It's anarchy. It's not even the inmates running the asylum. It's just basically every person for himself there.
Yeah. No organization or team or whatever else will win or succeed if you have no leadership.
Yeah, exactly.
You just need to. Plain and simple.
Bye, Jim.
Well, nice to see Jim. maybe next week he'll join us again.
He looks like that other referee that took a dive.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. Jim's getting chewed out right now for something that happened. Hold on. He's back. Here we go. No, he can already tell people are laughing on the screen. Okay. All right. So let's stop talking about Jim now.
I don't have cats that, you know, shit in the house.
They shit in two litter boxes, and you'll never know I have two. Here comes one now.
See? Oh, shitting in the house. Good God.
I shit in the house. I'm the one that sits on the floor.
Oh, God.
I'm not allowed to do it at all. not in my house.
So let me pose the question to all of you guys. Jesus, I want you to weigh in on this one. Should Punk even have gone and done that interview? Because in the midst of giving the interview, he said, man, you know what? I probably should even referenced, and I'm paraphrasing, I probably shouldn't even go into all this. Do you think that was a bad idea to go into all of that?
No.
I don't even think he's even sure to went to AEW, period.
Well, that...
No, I mean the interview with Ariel Helwani.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I don't even think he should even went there, period.
That's another discussion.
You know,
what was there to gain? Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. But
his interview with Ariel, I have no issue with it. Because AEW and Khan and the Bucks and whatnot were trying to bury him and make him look like a shitty person and a Jesus big baby. And make it seem like he was just a holy terror in the locker room. And he, you know, put the fear of God in Tony Khan.
And he feared for his life.
Wasn't that bad. So fuck off, Nick. It just wasn't that bad.
Hold on. Let's get back to the fear for your life thing. Let's talk about that.
Okay, let's get back.
That was dangerous.
Jim,
you saw Aubrey take a dive. Oh, I mentioned a name. Oh, shit.
Jim, let me ask you this question. Is there a chance, and I'm not saying a large possibility of this, but that somebody who could just be a very meek, quiet person who is not confrontational, maybe works in the industry, but if somebody like got up in their face, like a wrestler who's pissed and angry, could legitimately fear? Is there anybody who works in the industry that could feel that way? I mean, could we give any credence to the fact that Tony is not a guy who has a whole lot of moxie? Could even the smallest thing, you know, get up his crawl and scare him, you think?
But then if he is, one, he's too sensitive to be in that position in the business. Look at all the guys who have done that before. Whether they've been in the ring or not, would Vince McMahon feel unsafe?
No.
Would I'm trying to think of people. Would Vince Russo feel unsafe?
No, bro, he would get in the mix.
You know, think of anyone who never stepped in the ring that had a booking or, you know, is that close to a confrontation like that. In the wrestling business, and fear for their life, then they don't belong there.
There's a difference in being intimidated or feeling a little uncomfortable or even scared that you're going to get your face punched in versus fearing for your life. So you literally thought he was going to murder you. That's I've never ever had somebody put the fear of God in me that bad that I thought I was going to get murdered.
I mean, is the putting the fear of God in someone going like this?
Yeah.
You know, that looks like all he, that's looks to me like that's all he did.
Was he going to give him the poke of death or the poke of doom or whatever
that was? Shut your mouth. That was a good episode.
Not Kevin Nash.
Yeah, like, you know, like, no, he's being a Jesus big baby. If he's afraid for his life in that, I don't know.
Get out of the business. Sorry.
Get well, not just the business. Stay the fuck home and don't ever leave.
Yeah. Yeah,
there are bad people out there that are going
to
yell at you.
Go back to counting washers and nuts for your dad.
Wow, uncut Jim Molyneux.
Jim's ready to roll.
He's ready.
I know I'm not going to get a job there, so why should I hold back when I
He can put Gatorade into his mouth, and like he can do that if he wants to spray that. Oh, God. You know, where's Travis Etienne at?
Yeah, if he was that, if never mind. No.
I'm not going to work in there anyway.
By the way, why did it say Mike fears wind? What the hell's that all about?
Oh, you're the one that canceled the show a couple weeks ago because it was windy or something.
Oh, you know
thing.
What? You know
maybe.
What? That's right. And you.
Oh, he comes to. Oh, you boy, go on.
Take care.
Did you guys have tornadoes out there a couple weeks ago?
We did have tornadoes, and they were legitimate. And I'm sorry they don't have them up in Canada where you and your polar bears are walking around. But we have real weather.
Come
here,
Bubba.
Okay?
Come here, buddy. We're gonna show him. Come here.
All right. So let's move on and let's talk a little bit about WrestleMania weekend. I mean, you guys were busy during WrestleMania weekend. Let's first start with Jim here. How was your WrestleMania weekend? First of all, what shows did you work on? Was your experience enjoyable? What fun moments did you have? The floor is yours.
I was busy pretty much all weekend. Started Thursday afternoon with Mike Johnson from PW Insider giving guided tours of the 2300 arena. He would, you know, show everybody around, and I would throw in my little, well, guess what happened here, stories.
Was this, did you throw in the whole shitting in the floor thing with the hole?
Oh, yeah.
This
is where the men's room used to be.
Last gotta be authentic.
Here, there were no toilets. It's 15 years since I was there. There were no toilets.
Okay.
It was just the piping for the into the floor.
just the rough-ins.
And that was for a show. That wasn't even just walking around. So then I thought I was going to have some time to do nothing, but next thing was there was a Stardom show in the building, so I sat up in the VIP wing and watched the Stardom show, which is very entertaining. And then I worked for the WrestleCon people at their Super Show and did two matches. Worked with the FBI.
Nice.
It was Guido and the Big Don, Tommy Rich, with Tony Mamaluke on the outside against the Barriquas with Savio Vega and Miguel Perez Jr. On the inside. But they also Miguel Perez also had his daughter with him. So the FBI brought themselves. Listen to me. Brought with them a female. Paisan and introduced Deanna Purrazzo.
Oh, I love Deanna Purrazzo.
And they came out and they had a very good match. And then I got to, and I survived it. my knees survived. So stuck around for the main event, which was Sammy Callahan against, let me make sure I get it right because I'm sure I'm going to get it wrong. Paul Walter Hauser.
Wait a minute. Was that the guy that hangs out with Hook and he's on Dynamite? What is he? Is he a rapper?
He's an actor.
He's an actor.
He's an actor, but he also wrestles. Very nice guy. Guy's won an Emmy, so he's a talented man. but I did that match also. So that was my Thursday. Friday was the WrestleCon from 9 to 2, and then at 2:30 we went to the rooftop lounge and sat with ECW guys, sat with fans, and we had an ECW luncheon.
Nice.
Very nice. And so that was my Thursday. Friday I did the WrestleCon. I'm sorry, that was Friday. Saturday I did WrestleCon with John Finnegan. That was great to have him come in and do that for the day with me. And then finished off Sunday, left early so I could go to the SPO wrestling show in Burlington, New Jersey, and was there for that.
Did you go to Meanie Mania by any chance?
I did not. I really intended to, but got out of the building kind of late from the show. I knew I had to get up fairly early to get ready to go to WrestleCon because it started at 9 o'clock in the morning for VIPs. There was an hour for VIPs from 9 to 10. So I knew I was going to have to get up early and go through Philly traffic to get there. So I went home. Plus, I was also told that if you're not there early, there's nowhere to park. It was a corner bar, your neighborhood bar. So I unfortunately missed out on that, but I would have loved to have been there.
Yeah. So how is John Finnegan doing these days?
Very good. Very good. Yeah, we had a great time. We sat there and laughed the whole time.
I was going to say, is he still working at the Vet? But it's not the Vet anymore, is it?
It's Citizens Bank Park. Yes, he works Bank there. Park. So does Mike Keener.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Mike Keener's there too.
That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Now, did you sign autographs as well at the luncheon?
No, they were not allowed to. They were not allowed to ask for autographs or pictures. That was strictly convention rules.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So no, we sat and had a nice luncheon, a couple of us at each table, and got to talk with fans and answer their questions. It was nice.
Good.
That'd be a good time.
That sounds like that would be an amazing time. Yeah, I would love to have sat in there and just had lunch and just kind of listened and asked some Q&A questions. That's cool.
He just needs somebody to pay for it for him.
Yeah. Man, you're two for two. Take care. So let's go ahead. Let's go to Nick. Nick, how was your WrestleMania weekend? How did you enjoy it? What were you involved in? And did anything happen you did not expect?
Very long, actually. I'm like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. My body said F off basically by Thursday morning, on there, because I still went to work the next, the following Thursday too, on top of that, because I'm a fucking idiot, but that's neither here or there. I was still going to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday too, on top of that, between shows. So, leave early, go do a show, go, sleep for about 4 hours, work 8, leave, it's so on and so on from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It kind of sucked, but yeah. Hey, that's what we do. That's the price we pay for Mania Week when it's close by and stuff like that. So, I wasn't taking time off or anything like that from work. So, neither here nor there. So that was the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm like, I actually took the wife to actually to Mania both nights. That was actually her first Mania on there. Nice. So it was actually my third one, as far as just being in the crowd and shit like that. So, that was fun. A little cold out there on Saturday night. I think it went down to like 42, somewhere around there, by the time the main event was done, give or take. Yeah, so it wasn't really, and plus it was also windy out that day too. So, it was about 20 mile per hour winds on Saturday night, give or take. So it sucked.
Oh my god!
So yeah,
Finnegan sent out a picture, and it looked like he was ready for an Eagles game in January.
Oh, it's literally what it felt like. It was just like, and we're in the lower bowl and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, this wind sucks. At least Sunday was actually a little better off. It got down about like maybe like 48 by the time we left at 10:30, on Sunday night. So it wasn't too bad then after that, thank God. So, yeah, we survived. The body said F off, though. That was about it. I got dropped on my chin a couple times, so that was always fun. Some wrestlers didn't appreciate my heel antics and just, gave me a stunner. you know, and that was about it. That was all she wrote. That was signing off Mania week right there. I'm done for the week.
I know Miss Molyneux is not a fan of the wrestling industry, and I know she's definitely not a fan of the recent Hall of Fame inductee. What does Mrs. Papa G feel like as far as wrestling? Is she into it, or is she into it because she knows it means something to you?
She watches WWE, you know, like when we do these, I'm like, NXT's on in the background, you know, and stuff like that. So I catch up on all that, stuff. I'm like, she'll probably try to change the channel then on me since I'm in the kitchen doing this, you know, on her. But no, she's a big WWE fan and stuff like that. I'm like, she tolerates my indie stuff. I'm like, I took her out in the road with me before we were married and stuff like that. So I'm like, she got to see all that, but I'm like, you know, it was a little different from, you know, the shows back then, what I was working through, what they are now, you know, predominantly a lot more hardcore match that I do than really anything else nowadays, because that's the way the business on the indies actually kind of evolves to nowadays, unfortunately. So she tolerates it, at least on the indie level.
I'm going to stick with you on this one. Nick, what was your overall opinion of WrestleMania this year? A lot of people are saying, oh my God, amazing. Scale 1 to 10, if you can give me a number here, what would you give it?
I'd probably do 8 for, like, you know, night one, and probably like a 9.5 for like night two. I'm like, that was more of the story driven stuff on night two than really anything else. I think kind of like, you know, night one was the appetizer, but you know, too, on top of that, like, you got 72,000 people trying to brave the cold, you know, and stuff like that, which, you know, sucked, you know, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm like, it's the Northeast in April. It happens, you know. Nothing you can do about that part.
Did you feel like the audience was into night one? Because there was a lot of stuff that was going around that it was kind of quiet.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, I'm like, the logistics with them, like, you know, the link's an open, you know, an open air stadium. You know, so the sound's going to travel up. I'm like, it's not going to be, you're not going to be like in a dome or a regular arena where the travel, you know, sound travels all over the place. That sound goes up, you know, you're screwed. Plus, yeah, you know, it's windy, it's cold. You know, I'm like,
clapping with gloves on.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I had a hoodie on. I had like 3 layers of clothes on. I'm like, 2 on top of it. I'm like, it's like, my legs were like frozen until like Sunday morning. I'm like, oh, this sucks. It's about a 40-minute drive home from the link to my house in South Jersey, which took me about 2 hours to get home, unfortunately, because, you know, parking is absolutely atrocious and the Philadelphia cops don't know their head from the hole in the ass, you know, because they don't know how to, you know, factor traffic or anything like that. They're terrible. You know, if I would, I probably would have ran a bunch of people over. But I'm not going to commit murder. So,
and on next week's episode, we hear about the ticket Nick got.
Where's the camera at from here? Where's the traffic camera that probably got me doing some shady shit?
Oh God, Jim, let me ask you this: did you get to catch some of WrestleMania?
Some. I know the first night I made it to the second match and fell asleep, and then woke up with the results of what was going on in the main event. The second night, I think I may have made it to the third match and woke up before the finish of the main event.
Are you guys still excited to watch wrestling such as WrestleMania, even though you've been doing this for so long and in God, you've seen so much wrestling? Do you ever get to the point where you're like, okay, great, this, you know, or do you still somehow get really juiced up to watch something?
You couldn't help but not get into it in the last, like, what was it, like, last like 6 minutes of the main event on like night number two. I was like a kid in a candy store. They tied like 4 or 5 different stories all into one match, you know, and stuff like that. I'm like, and two on top of it, I'm like, you know, you couldn't help but get emotional with the main event. I'm like, when was the last time you saw that, you know, in wrestling, period, that somebody got, you know, people got emotional, you know, in a storyline, like it was that, you know, people were that invested in the story. I'm like, I don't care what company it is. I'm like, you know, you can't you can't tell me a story, you know, recently that some, you know, people got, you know, that emotionally invested. Oh, there are people around us crying, for Christ's sakes, when Cody went over. You know, I'm like, right then and there, I'm like, all right, you got them.
Well, I mean, the last time I saw people cry was Macho Man and Elizabeth after Randy lost to Warrior
in
a career-ending match. Jim, what do you think about all the emotions flying? You think warranted, or you think, okay, let's kind of...
They pulled on people's heartstrings. They're starting to get back to, or at least the WWE is, they're starting to get back to making the match about something, making it worth, you know, making it seem, I hate to say it like that, but making it feel as real as possible, make it a real life situation where people are invested. I hate to bash on them, but AEW does not do that. You know, we're coming up with FTR against the Young Bucks again. Now they've made it a ladder match. I love FTR. I think they're the greatest tag team out there today. I'm a huge tag team fan. I have no interest in seeing this match because it's going to turn into a shit show. You know, I don't get that feeling that WWE is attempting to tear down a match. They're getting people emotionally invested. And I think that's really important.
Butster, I know that you had a chance to catch Mania as well. What stood out to you? And scale 1 to 10, what are you giving it?
Overall, 9, maybe 9.25. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like the guys said, if you weren't invested and it didn't tug at your heartstrings a little bit, Cody finally getting over, I don't know what to tell you. Stop watching. Because it's just not doing it for you. That's some of the best it's been in a bit. For me, the highlight, Sami Zayn winning. I know that's been received lukewarm by some people. Don't think he should have went over Walter. I think Sami Zayn winning, it was fantastic. I enjoyed both nights. And I'm generally a person who can't sit still for that long, especially 2 nights in a row. I was invested both nights. It was good. It was fantastic. One of the better Manias I've seen in a bit. And you know, the last 6, 8, 10 minutes or whatever of the main event, if that didn't make you pop, you know, when you're getting all the flashbacks, the legends coming back, I don't know, like, that's got to. If you're a wrestling fan, that you got excited. You know, plain and simple. When you see people like that coming out,
there was rumors that were floating around that they were trying to get Steve Austin involved. However, who reports what, we don't know, but they said that they just couldn't come to a financial agreement. Let me ask you something. Even if you're Steve Austin, do you literally go back and forth in a negotiation to show up at a WrestleMania for a 5-minute run-in? Like, is that really that much of a financial thing where you got to sit down and, well, I'm not doing it for this much, or I'm not, like, you're well off, you're wealthy, you're still being remembered. They're not going to completely give you nothing to do it. Why is there all this? Well, we got to negotiate. We got to come to terms with the right number. To me, I mean, obviously I'm not him, but I seem a little fickle in a way to not just say, you know what, let's be a part of it. Jim, what's your thought?
Well, we don't know if it was a financial debate. It may have been what they wanted him to do, and he may not physically be able or ready to do it if they wait till the last minute. I mean, look at someone like The Undertaker, who, if he's to have a match, he's got to work out for 2 years almost to get back into ring shape. I'm sure Steve's probably the same way. So even to give us for him to give a stunner, which would, you know, everyone would expect him to be able to do, that takes a lot of wear on his neck, which is where his problem is. It's a lot easier for the Undertaker to come in and do a choke slam. Nothing on his back or his knees or whatever his issues may be physically. So I think that may have been the bone of contention. I don't think financially there was.
Nick, would you like to have seen Steve Austin out there with all of this, or do you think I'm fine with the way it was?
The way the run-ins were going, I'm like, in the rocket in the upper hand, I'm like, you kind of thought right then and there, I'm like, it's like, all right, you know, this is going to make sense. I'm like, here we are at Mania. I'm like, you know, you're going to hear the glass shatter, you know, one last time. I'm like, instead you heard the gong, which is equally as great too on top of that. I'm like, you know, no offense or buts about that. I'm like, I wouldn't really have a preference. I'm like, you know, it worked either way. I'm like, you got the pop regardless.
Yeah, I mean, you could have gotten the car crash.
Yeah,
exactly. And Philly would have popped super. That's
oh yeah.
Gosh, you dovetailed me perfect. You're so good at this, Jim. We talk about the car crash. Mick Foley recently has gone on record saying he went and talked to his doctors, and it's a no-go. The doctors officially shut down the concept of Mick Foley actually having a final match. You know, we talked about this on previous week's episodes. Jim, let me ask you, does it in any way surprise you that the doctor had a heart-to-heart with Mick and said, this ain't smart?
No, well, there goes that booking.
Get the trampoline out. You never know when the next one's coming.
No, it doesn't surprise me. It surprises me a little bit that Mick seems to have given up so easily to it. I think maybe he could have, you know, maybe he's had this in his head for quite a while, and it's finally come to the point where the doctor said no. You know, I would see him, you know, going to the gym and trying to do something to get himself ready. And if he did improve himself and the doctor still said no, then, you know, you have to go with the doctor. I think Mick's at the age where he understands his body now, or maybe when he was much younger, like some of us others were, we, you know, would go ahead and crash through the wall or whatever, without any regards to the effects down the line. Well,
are you making a Shockmaster reference?
No, absolutely not. We're absolutely pretty much at the end of the line. So yeah, it's the right move. I feel bad. I'm sure he's heartbroken over it.
Would you have watched his last match if he did a death match?
I don't know. There'd be a lot of stuff involved. Who it's against, where it is, what they plan on. You know, I may not watch it live, but I'd probably watch it back after somebody said, yeah, you got to see this.
So you're telling me, Doc, that Mick Foley is not cleared to wrestle, yet the pacemaker man himself, was well enough to get out there. The man looked like he was embalmed.
If you find the right doctor, they'll say yes.
This is true. Where's Dr. Zahorian when you need him?
Who?
Oh,
not Doctor Who.
You were supposed to. What? All right, so we talked about WrestleMania. We talked about a lot of different things. ECW.
Oh, who's Dr. Zahorian?
Oh, my God, you're out of here. Three strikes, you're out. Go play with your polar bear. Dr. Zahorian was the guy in the 1991, I want to say, steroid trial, who was distributing illegal stuff to the wrestlers. And I'm saying should have got a hold of Dr. Zahorian so he could have juiced himself up.
Again, I know who it is.
Pennsylvania's best.
So let's talk about this. This is a big rumor.
Pennsylvania's best. The bar is pretty low.
Exactly.
That's your athletic commission hard at work.
Yeah, Frank Talent's rolling over in his grave right now. Where's Greg Serbat when you need him?
All right, fellas.
No spitting.
All right, fellas, please, whatever you do, don't go over the guardrail. Please, please.
There's some other off camera stuff I could say about Frank Talon too. On top of that, we'll save that later.
Save that for 23
minutes. It's actually a really
good
one too. I can't even put it on the podcast tonight. It probably gets shut down. It's terrible. We'll do it after taping.
Perfect. Oh, this is the best mic's ever sounded.
It's the wind.
Yeah, the wind really messed up Freeland. You muted yourself, knucklehead.
You muted yourself.
I didn't do that.
No, it's not what, it's who.
All right, let's talk a little more ECW here. So the rumor was going around that Sabu no-showed a Hall of Fame induction. Any of our referee fans throughout the community have any insight on this or what may have happened? Jim, did you heard anything about this?
I heard about it. I don't know necessarily. Oops, don't necessarily know if I would raise my hand to know anything. but yeah, he showed up at the other one. There was another Hall of Fame where he was receiving a plaque for Super Genie, and he was there for that. I saw him all weekend. I don't know why he no-showed. And like where it was literally right upstairs in the building of the hotel. It was right that roof area where we had had our luncheon with the fans. So I cannot say as to why, or I can predict, or I can speculate, but I'm not going to do that here.
Well, Joseph Currier is reporting, and this is with MSN. The situation between Sabu no-showing his Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame induction has now been completely resolved. Sabu had been announced to be a member of the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame class of 2024, but even though he was physically in the building where it was taking place, Sabu did not appear at the ceremony on Sunday. He was at WrestleCon while the Hall of Fame ceremony was actually happening. ECW legend explained why he didn't appear at the ceremony because, and he quote, he changed his mind. GCW promoter Brett Lauderdale responded that there were no hard feelings, and he still respected Sabu both as a man and as a performer. An update on Thursday night, Lauderdale revealed that Sabu had returned the $300 deposit he had received for the Hall of Fame event. Lauderdale has donated the deposit to the William Way LBGT Community Center in Philadelphia. Okay, so let's briefly just touch upon this. All he says is he changed his mind. Not really quite sure if I bought, like, what? You are in the same building. You are on another floor, and you changed your mind. Now, I guess only Sabu has the answer to this, but what could possibly run through someone's mind if they are going to be awarded something, a Lifetime Achievement Award, and all of a sudden you just quote-unquote changed your mind, didn't even really give a reason why, or you just that's it, like a fart in the wind?
This banquet was Saturday night.
Let's see here. Let me see if it gives the date.
I think that was Sunday afternoon, that one.
It was Sunday.
I think it was at like noon or something.
Then what I was thinking of doesn't fit, because I know he went out to dinner with a large group Saturday evening, so I thought maybe, you know, he was still out to dinner, or, you know, I don't know, but since that was Sunday, that doesn't play in.
Now, the people who did go into the Hall of Fame were the Briscoes, Jay and Mark, Trent Acid, Steve Corino, Mercedes Martinez, who is a fantastic wrestler, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, and indie superfan Kevin Whack Packer Hogan. I have no concept who that person is. Referees, please tell me, who is Whack Packer?
Superfan. He's a superfan in South Jersey. He was actually going to like ECW shows, what, 94, Jim? 95, yeah. Maybe? Give or take. So he was basically like any local indie company that was running in South Jersey, Philly area, Delaware, he was at, basically, one way or the other. They nicknamed him the Muffin Man, because he would actually come out with, he'd come with like a little wrap, like little Hostess muffins, and actually would throw you a bunch and stuff like that. He threw a bunch of them at the ring one time, you know, on there. Nothing like, you know, not like heckling or anything like that, but probably the I'd put him next to Vladimir. You know, everybody knows. Yeah, I literally would put him next to him.
Well, you know, that's
known in the area.
That's a big compliment to put him next to Vlad Superfan. And Let me ask you this, though. You're talking about all this. Jim, Nick, you guys both know this. Hat guy, sign guy. I mean, these guys were classic iconic fans as well. I mean, have either one of these guys, to your knowledge, ever been recognized as a super fan in any way, or is it just...
No, not really. Other than from, you know, us guys, the guys in the locker room and the other fans. I mean, you know, we would recognize, you know, we would acknowledge John, Hat Guy. But yeah, no, nothing's ever. I don't think Hat Guy's not on the banner at the arena. There are a lot of people who. The beginning of ECW should be up on banners that aren't. And in fact, Chubby Dudley, he's trying to get a petition going to get a bunch of the original ECW guys on a banner. Larry Winters, Johnny Hotbody, Tony Stetson, guys like that. I always say the next person up should be Bob Ortiz because he did a lot for ECW. Not just as a ring announcer, but a lot of things behind the scene.
You guys work for a bunch of different promotions here. Nick, let me ask you this question. Do you have a super fan that you notice that with your promotion that man, this guy is just, or gal, whoever, super loyal?
You'd see a couple every now and then, but not like every show. You know, I'm like, I know Jim knows him. There's a guy named Captain Dave. I, you know, I block him on all my social media.
I wouldn't call him a fan. But...
Yeah, I know Jim. I know it's you know, I'm like, yeah. I'm not even going to go in detail or anything like that, but I have him blocked on all my social media. And he actually literally, there was one of our local photographers actually on there actually screenshotted me. He's like, I was trying to get a hold of Nick on like Twitter, but he's got me blocked. I'm like, what did I ever do to him? The backstory is I had him blocked about 6 years ago, and he just found out now. He just realized it now. Like people, with the one show I did a benefit show this past Saturday. People were like, "Oh my God, he blocked Captain Dave." I'm like, "Yeah," and you know, spam my timeline and tag me in bullshit and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm blocking you. I'm like, I don't need the bullshit on the timeline. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I could say 10 times worse, but I'm like, I'm not even going to. It's like, I'm not even wasting my time.
Not even worth it.
No, not even on there.
Jim, not even worth it.
Jim knows who he is.
Yeah. Jim, you've seen a lot of super fans and whatnot, and I do believe it was in Philadelphia. It might have been Slamboree Legends Reunion, where there was a match between Tully Blanchard and Terry Funk, and I want to say it was at the Spectrum?
No, it was at the Civic Center.
Civic Center.
The old Civic Center.
Well, Hat Guy was in the front row, and Terry got him involved in the match, which I thought was really, really cool. He put his hat on him, and then, you know, he put it on the ground, started snorting around with it and whatnot, and he gave it back to him. But I just thought it was really cool because, you know, some of these fans, I'd love to talk to Hat Guy. Does anybody know how to get a hold of this guy or who he is?
He's got a Facebook, I believe.
Yeah, he's online. He actually manages for a small promotion.
No. Not a small promotion, a shithole promotion.
Okay. Oh, geez. Oh.
Man, some flea market up in Quakertown.
Well, I guess he won't be joining us. Thanks, Nick.
I'm not working at that place now.
There goes that interview. Yep.
He's not going to be joining us ever.
I'm not working there either because what I charge him is probably what he pays everybody to work the show.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Are wicked tonight.
Yeah,
man,
every you need weeks. A hug or some damn.
We
thing.
Should just
Holy
throw
shit.
Names out and see what Nick says about people. Fuck no,
it's a complete burial. It's a complete burial. Yeah, where's name association at for an hour?
I kind of feel left out. Nobody's ever blocked me on Twitter. I kind of want to get blocked now just so
take
I can be
that.
One of the cool kids.
Yeah.
And now, Jim, I never did nothing to you.
He's trying to offer me $100 for gas money to come to Ontario, for Christ's sakes.
That's 100 Canadians. So that's like 40.
Yeah, that's even worse.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, get gas just went up 40, like 20 cents today.
Yeah, like in the matter of 8 hours.
Today, yeah.
Well, what are you paying a gallon? How much?
So I got one around me, 349.
Yeah, 349.
You got one there. It's worse in Philly. It's like 369 in Philly.
What are you paying up there? What are you paying up there? Do you play? You pay like in like walnuts or how do you?
Gallon,
do you barter pelts or whatever.
$6.80 a gallon.
That's Canadian though, right?
Well, no shit. I live in Canada.
Okay, you know what? I do not need this bullshit.
Fuck me! I've been thrown out of way classier places than this.
Take the wind thing off. I keep staring at that and it bothers me. Take it off.
You guys have tornadoes again in that area.
No, we don't have tornadoes in Canada.
No, not you. I met Mike.
You guys have tornadoes.
I was gonna say, don't you guys have storms coming again? Three right now?
It's gonna be bad. I think we have a watch going right now.
Yeah, there you go. That's always
in our in our internet is not the greatest. So it gets even during sunny days it goes out. But anyway, so we talked about Mick Foley, talked about a little bit about a Sabu. Anybody else? Did you run into Mikey or Jerry? Jim, did you get to see them at all?
Oh, yeah. Talked to him for quite a while. Caught up with Jerry. Had some family stuff that had happened in the past and I hadn't told him. And he sat down and gave him that story. Talked to Mikey for a while, talked to PJ, saw Dawn Marie for the first time in a long time, and it was great. But she gave me this hug, and it was the kind of hug where she wasn't letting go.
Hey,
tried to, hey, had the hug, you know, the greeny hug, and she's not letting go.
Hey, she wants her some Molino. There's a run of the hug.
So, talked to a lot of people. That actually went up to Hector Guerrero and Chavo Jr. And I worked with Hector in ECW, and he remembered me. He had some really nice matches with Scorpio. So if you want to go back and look at those, they're really good. But I said to them, some of the greatest matches I worked were with Eddie. We talked about Eddie for a while. So went down, there were three levels to this convention, three ballrooms. And so I had to search for him, but I found Dean Malenko. I haven't talked to him in quite a long time. So it was nice to talk to Dean. I'll see him again in May at there's an 80s convention coming up in the area. So I'll see him that day too. But I got to go around and talk to some people that, like I said, haven't seen in a long, long time.
I'm going to throw out some names, and you guys tell me if this person was there. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yes.
Hacksaw does his own little video podcast now from his house, which is very interesting. He seems like a very humble guy. Is he pretty down to earth?
Oh, yeah. I did a tour with him one time. It was a couple of dates to Alaska, like right after 9/11 it happened. And learned a lot from him, just how to act with fans. It was great. And fans were, in fact, this was another time in Philadelphia at the airport hotel. He came in and fans were swarming him. He said, "Hey, look, guys, just let me check in. Let me put my bags in the room. Let me call home, check, make sure everything's okay, and I'll come down and sign everything for you." And he did. That's what happened. Came down like 15, 20 minutes later, came down and signed everything for him. And I talked to him about it when we did the Alaska shows, and he said, "You got to remember, these people are paying your mortgage. They're not coming out to see you, then the promotion's going to let you go." And it's just a lesson that I picked up and passed on to students when I was involved in schools. But yeah, very nice guy, excellent guy. We had a laugh every time we were in the ring on that Alaska show.
Always hope to hear positive things from him because I know his health, he's been battling some stuff, but he seems so positive, especially with his faith, and what a great, great soul. Butster, let me ask you this question. If you were there, give me three names of three people that you would like to have seen if you were at WrestleCon. What three booths would you stop by and see?
Tugboat.
Absolutely. Tugster.
Ooh, this is a good one. I'd want to go see Sabu. And Jim Molyneux.
Would you stop by? Would you stop by Ref Nick Papa G's booth? And
no.
And how would that experience go?
No, I wasn't there anyway. I wasn't there.
You wouldn't know somebody likes you.
You know, I'm not going to those derelicts in Philly.
Let me ask you this question: why are there people?
There's a nice hotel.
Oh, I know what it is.
Is there a pool there? Did they have a pool at the hotel?
They probably did. I didn't find it.
They probably pissed in it.
It was on the roof.
Probably pissed in it. Jesus God.
It was. It was on the where we had our luncheon out there. Yes. An outdoor patio.
Took a shit in it.
The pool. I mean, you know, you're not gonna. The pool's not gonna be open in April.
No, I mean, Jim, is it an indoor pool?
Oh, I didn't see an indoor pool.
Now, let me ask you, when you guys are booking hotels, and this goes for Butster as well, is what are some of the amenities that you look for? Is there certain bed. Things when you look for?
No bed bugs.
No bed bugs.
Oh, that's
no cockroaches.
Yep. King size bed. Nice view.
TV. With cable.
I think they all come with that.
Maybe now we have cable.
Pennsylvania, but hey,
now with HBO.
Now with it, yes.
Yeah. Well, king size bed, decent view, clean. I mean, I'm
hourly rate
in some scumbag hotel like Nick stays in.
Hourly rate? What?
Hourly rate hotels.
Oh my
easy,
God.
Easy escape.
Easy escape. I'll tell you one that honestly. Chaps my ass when I'm looking for a hotel. If I had to pay for parking, drives me nuts. I'm paying $300 to stay here tonight, and you're going to hit me for another 30 or 40 to park. That's bullshit.
Yeah,
that's just me. It just drives me nuts. There's something about paying to park when I'm paying to stay at your hotel. I don't like that.
I originally thought that when you go into a hotel and they have that little mini fridge, I used to think that was fucking included. I thought all that was for you. Little did I know that every time you lift something off the goddamn sensor, shit, it gets
hit. Are you serious?
I had no clue. I had no clue. I was like, man, this is high class. And I didn't realize a Snicker was like $375. I was like, God darn.
Then he got his Visa bill when he was leaving. Credit card declined.
Hold on. Do you know what I told the people? Here's what I told the people.
I didn't order that porno.
It was no, I watch that on my phone. So it was I used their Wi-Fi. No, not back then. I just used the Scramble channel and just try to get what I could.
There you go.
So WrestleMania 22, it was in Chicago. Oh, and nice. It was at the Allstate Arena. So we stayed at a hotel that was I guess connected to the arena. I don't know. It was pretty close. And me and a buddy of mine were in a room and they had one of those little mini fridges with all the different, you know, drinks and snacks and whatnot. So we had gone out for pizza that night. So, you know, Chicago style deep dish pizza. So neither one of us knew this, but we were like, well, we still got pizza left. So there was a microwave in our hotel room. So we thought, well, maybe later on we'll reheat up this pizza. So I saw that there was a fridge and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to empty everything out of the fridge and I'm going to put it on top of the big dresser. And then I'm going to put the pizza in there to keep it cold. Well, no more than 5 minutes later, the phone rings in our room and it was the front desk saying, oh my God, you know, we're glad you're enjoying your experience, but you know, we'll run you up another fridge. You know, to restock it. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, it's all here. They said, well, it seems like you've taken it all out and this is what the bill will come to. So I said, hold on 1 second. I put the phone down underneath a pillow and I had to come up with something pretty fast. And I said, listen, I think we have a mistake here. I said, I got medication that I have to take. It's pretty serious. And I said, I took all the stuff out because I got to refrigerate my medicine. I said, I could put all the stuff back. And she said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I jumped to a conclusion. She goes, don't worry about that. She says, keep your medicine in the fridge. We'll wipe it off. We'll wipe it off your bill. So other than that, we were watching, you know, skin dancing and all that. We were having our drinks and our snacks. And We had some pizza later on, so you got to think quickly when it comes to those mini fridges.
I guess Giordano's pizza actually is medicine. What the hell?
Hey, listen, it's better than what I got in Cincinnati.
Giordano's pizza is pretty good. If it's anything like the one in Vegas, it's really good.
So, Butster, I want to ask you a question here. You said you've never been to a live AEW event so far, have you?
Nope.
God bless you.
You're terrible.
Well, I don't want to remortgage my house to go see it.
And it can be expensive. Have any of you guys been to a live AEW event?
I was backstage just visiting friends once. That was about it.
So I went recently to Collision. I went to Collision. It was in Northern Kentucky, so I'm in Cincy, so I crossed the river. I go over to Northern Kentucky. And I was not aware of all that is an AEW live event. So I want to kind of share this with you. So I went to the event, and doors open at 6. The Ring of Honor tapings go from 7 to 8, okay? Then from 8 to 10, it's Collision live on TNT. After that's off the air, then they go back on the air to do Battle of the Belts for the next hour. So that's 10 to 11. And then after that's done, they do a whole series of Ring of Honor TV tapings. And you could get out of there like 12 or 1 a.m. I mean, literally, I'm not even kidding you. And people started leaving, which is understandable. I mean, wrestling's fun.
Oh, yeah.
5 hours worth. You're not going to keep people for very long. So Tony Khan came out and he thanked the crowd when the whole night was starting. But evidently there's this thing online, and I haven't caught it yet. But and we did leave also before the end of the night just because we had a babysitter, a one-year-old. You don't want to be away from the house too long. But that Tony was trying to talk to the crowd to tell them not to leave. Now, I don't know if this is just shtick or if this was legit, whatever it may be, but... Let me ask you this. Do you know of any other promotions? I know back in the 80s, didn't the WWF used to have people, Mikey used to say he would go and he could be there for all day and they would tape like a month worth of like superstars and all this other kind of stuff. Was that the case if you would go to shows back in the day where they would just do big blocks of tapings?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, Vince Sr. would do TV tapings in Hamburg, PA that were 6 hours long. We're at the old Philadelphia Arena at, what was it, 46th and Market, something like that. You know, there were a couple of different places that they did tapings that they would do 6 to 8 weeks worth of TV in one shot.
We did that with MLW, you know, on there. Yeah. When I was there last year, when they got the deal with Reels, the channel on there, we literally did the run sheet for that was about 15 matches on there, which was about equivalent to about 5 weeks, 6 weeks of TV, give or take. The way they do it now, at least that I saw, they would do maybe a dark match or so. And then they're on Fight TV from like 7 to 9, maybe 7 to 10, and then after they're done on Fight TV or whatever the hell they call themselves now, they would do another like 7 more matches for the Fusion TV, which was the YouTube, you know, deal on top of that. Oh, it's absolutely insane on there.
But that's too long.
I
love wrestling, but there is zero chance I'm going to be able to sit there for 5 hours.
Yep. Yeah, you lose the crowd after about 2.5, 3.
Too long.
Yeah.
For 3, maybe if I'm really invested, you might get 3.5. After that, I'm checked out.
Yeah.
Because that's a long time to be sitting there.
Jim, didn't you mention it one time before? Because I know Mikey and Jerry both talked about this. Like, I guess they would tape ECW, and sometimes they get some really hot crowds, but then the Saturday morning, like the next day, they were trying to give beverages and food to get people to come, and sometimes it was difficult to draw them, I guess, at second day in a row. Am I getting that correct?
No, you know what? I don't think we did too much back-to-back in the same building. We would do TV Friday night, up in New York at that hellhole, and then Saturday night in our local hellhole.
You spend a lot of time in hell, Jim.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I'm going to tell you about 42 years of it. So,
Jesus Christ.
But no, I don't think we were never really in the same city two nights in a row. But in the original ECW days, when we first went to the arena, yes, we were offering hot dogs and beer to come in because nobody knew what the hell was going on.
Why don't I ever go somewhere to offer beer? That'd be fantastic.
You know, and we really weren't on TV yet on a very visible basis. Once, you know, Philadelphia Sports Channel and we got some buzz going, then people were showing up.
It's interesting because, you know, nowadays everybody is so fixated on, you know, ratings and how many people are in the crowd and whatnot. Do you guys think that's kind of overblown as far as, you know, let's say, so WWE recently had 17 straight, I don't know if you saw the statistics, 17 straight sellouts, and which is fantastic. I mean, business is hot right now.
For Monday night.
Monday night broke that streak. I think they said there was like 900 or so tickets that did not get sold, which at this point in time, that doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot. Still a huge crowd. People were still really excited about it. Does it matter, to be honest with you, to the boys and girls, how many people are out there when they walk out? Does it psychologically impact them? I mean, it's not COVID where there's no one or, you know, just the locker room. But I mean, if guys who came from WWE used to packed houses now come out to like AEW where there's maybe 2,500 people there, does it psychologically have an effect like, man, this is not what I'm used to?
I think it does to a certain extent. Like you see it on an indie level. And like you see, I'm like, oh, you know, hey, we drew 35 people. You know, now they're going to, which is actually kind of a norm to some people on there. Now you're going to realize, I'm like, oh, he's like, you know, it's, you know what we had planned in this match. I'm like, hey, let's scrap half of this because I'm like, I'm not put my body through this for 35 people and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't matter if there's five people or 500 people. I'm like, you know, they're paying their money regardless. They want to be entertained for the 2-3 hours. So it shouldn't matter how many people really, to be honest with you, out there. But psychologically, I think it does too. On top of it, because I'm like, you know, most, you know, we, you know, rely on crowd noise. You know, we, you know, indie companies don't, you know, they can't rely on, you know, piping noise in or anything like that because they don't really have the money for that, or probably don't know how to batch it from YouTube into the speakers or anything like that. So,
right.
You know, so I think that's the damage it really does. You know, to them.
I think in the situation with AEW, it's got to be somewhat disappointing that you're at, you know, a big, let's say they're at Wells Fargo. They're not going to be there, but you know, they're at the Lee Acora Center. But if they're at a hockey size arena, you know, 18,000-20,000 seats, and you go there. And you know, you roll your bags into the locker room and you go to see the go outside to look at the ring, and it's set up between the net and the red line, where you know you don't have the whole ice set up, the whole building set up. You know, you've got not even a quarter of it set up. That's got to be, you have to think to yourself, what's going on that you can't get more people here.
And I can't necessarily comment for regards to wrestling because I wrestled, but I know when I played hockey, if you were playing in a fair-sized stadium and there was, you know, I mean, I never played anything above collegiate, but if you had 5,000 people, that's a full burn for a lot of stadiums I played in. And you had a little extra pep in your step, you know, you wanted to throw that big hit or whatnot just to get the fans going bonkers. Because it just gets a charge. It just sets the atmosphere. More so if you're playing somewhere and there's, you know, the parents are there and that's all. It's a little harder to you know, to play your guts out. Basically, you're still playing to win, but you're not going to go through the same because you're not keyed up. You don't have that hype with the extra people around, because you know you have a little bit of ego. These 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people they're here to watch us play. And you know, you get a little bit of extra swagger to you and whatnot, and you're a little more excited. You play a little bit harder. That's the way it was for us, or for me anyhow. If we were playing in a big stadium and there was a good crowd there, you want to make sure. I mean, I didn't score goals worth a damn. I just ran around, hit everything, and blocked shots, and was basically just a plugger is all I was. But you know, if you you lay a big hit. And you know, Jim, you're a hockey guy. Nick, mm-hmm. You watch hockey?
I'm a Penguins fan, actually. So,
well, so you don't watch hockey? Okay, fair enough.
Push that button.
Yeah. So now he needs to go. No, but you know yourself. If you're watching the game and there's a big hit, you pop. You know,
of course.
Sure.
Versus a goal, it's like, that's a nice goal. However, if somebody gets leveled, we're talking Scott Stevens on Paul Kariya type of thing. Wow, that was amazing. So, you know, you get a bigger reaction. That's even if you're just watching it at home. You know, if you're in a stadium, you're right out of your seats and some guy gets flattened.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I found when I played. I loved it. If I lit somebody up, perfect. Get everybody out of seats. I never heard
a Flyers crowd pop as loud for anything other than a goal, except for the night that – and I'm only saying for when I was there. Was like Sidney Crosby caught an elbow in the mouth and lost his two front teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Flyers fans. Sorry, Jim.
Well, it wasn't his fault that his elbow was his the same height as his mouth.
Sure. All right.
Size difference.
Oh, so who was it that ran into him? He was 7 feet 2 inches tall? Because Sid's like 6 foot.
It was one of their defensemen. I can't remember. I don't know why I can't think of his name. But he played for them for a couple of years. Came in from somewhere else. He came from Anaheim. And then I'd have to look it up. But
yeah. But needless to get back to it, the crowd makes it, for me, when I played hockey, the crowd made a difference. If you have more people, you were a little more energized. And if you could do something that made the crowd come to their feet or cheer, you felt like $1 million.
Speaking of feeling like $1 million, one of our last topics here I want to talk about is in some unfortunate news. Looks like Rhea Ripley had to relinquish her women's heavyweight championship due to an injury that she sustained a couple weeks ago on Raw. The point that I want to get to here is, and I want all of you guys to chime in on this, where do we find Rhea when we look at women in professional wrestling and the next big dominant force? Butzer, I'll start with you. Rhea Ripley, is she on her way to becoming legendary, if I say that? I mean, is that too far, or do you think that she's going to be one of those we remember, but maybe not quite in that top tier?
Legendary? I don't know. Who do you consider legendary? Are you talking like a Victoria legendary?
No, I'm saying, okay.
Or are we talking like a Mae Young?
No, I'm not talking Mae Young. I'm not talking Bull either. We already talked. Both of those women were north of 70 at WrestleMania 3.
They
no way.
Your ass.
And I might
a $2 steak, the pair of them.
I don't know.
Rhea Ripley, I don't know if she's going to be a legend. Not yet, anyhow. Could be. I mean, it's a great look. Big, strong young lady. She's still young. They're very good in the ring. It could happen. But there takes a lot to get to the level of a legend.
Well, that's kind of the thing I'm at here. So we talk about Rhea, and right now she's one of the biggest names in women's wrestling right now, I think, arguably. I don't know how you guys would feel about that, but she's a big name. Do we feel like she is about to go on a big run, obviously, when she comes back from being injured? Because anytime you go away and you come back, obviously you're going to get a good reaction from the audience. absence makes a heart grow fonder. Nick, do you think that, she's on the precipice of really breaking out as a even bigger star in wrestling once she makes her return?
You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, completely forget that she's a heel right now.
She is.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that because the fans made her basically a babyface, you know, in a heel group, you know, on there. You know, I know she, I don't know what, she did something to her AC joint, you know, in her shoulder. So I don't know if it took a 4 month, 6 month, eight month, you know, injury or anything like that. You know, but when she comes back, I'm like, you got a mega baby face right there. I'm like, it's basically, it's almost like when Becky, you know, did the whole, you know, became the man, so to speak, you know, and how over she was with the crowd, you know, and stuff like that. Rhea is probably going to top that, you know, whenever she comes back, you know, in whatever program, you know, that she's probably in there with. You know, I'm like, sky's the limit for her. I'm like, people don't realize too. I'm like, I think she's only like 25 or something like that. I'm like, she's so young, you know, and stuff like that. That's what a lot of people don't realize. I'm like, she's got like another, be honest with you, you know, stay injury free. She's got another 20 years under her belt coming, you know, basically, which is kind of scary to even think about, you know. But you know, she's gonna be the biggest baby face, you know, as long as they use her the right way, you know, when she comes back.
Jim, let me ask you your opinion on this. Rhea Ripley, what's your take on her as far as on that teetering on that edge of going from being a great talent or a great attraction? So, and maybe that's a better way to say it. Is she a great talent or is she a great attraction?
I think she's both. She's got it in the ring, physically. She gets, you know, how to seems to get how a match should go. Has a great mic skills. I see her being a star beyond wrestling. I could see, you know, if she's going to be out for 8 months, I'd be out in Hollywood looking for work in movies. Can you see a reboot of her in The Terminator? Or a reboot of her as Mad Max, or you know, taking Arnold role like Commando or something, you know. I
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I mean, I could see her doing a lot of different things in Hollywood. And I think she's on the road to making that happen.
What does it take, in your opinion? And Butster, I kind of threw this out, and Butster made a really great point. What does it mean to be legendary? Because we throw these words, icon, legend, GOAT. I think we get a little tired of hearing about it because it seems like every other day somebody's either admitting or saying that they are the GOAT or someone is calling them that. So, Jim, when we talk about someone who's legendary, what makes someone legendary, in your opinion?
I think it's someone who's achieved something in their business, whether it's wrestling or sports or entertainment, that everyone across the board knows. Oh, yeah. You know, I saw this match. We'll just stay in wrestling, for example. You know, oh, yeah, I remember when Ric Flair, yeah, he's the greatest. I remember when he wrestled Ricky Steamboat. Or, you know, and everyone's going to know something along the way. There are guys that we call legends because we're in that inner circle that a lot of people don't know. You know, pick someone that we all loved, and there you can find fans that, like, don't know who the guy is, never heard of him, never saw him. Know nothing about them. So it's got to be somebody that is people know worldwide. Like I'll give you an example. Terry Funk. I have family who know absolutely zero about the professional wrestling business, but they knew who Terry Funk was through Sylvester Stallone movies. So you know, it doesn't make him the greatest actor in the world, but it sure gets him the legendary status that people outside of his realm know who he is.
Like crossover appeal?
Yeah.
I'm laughing at the little caption down below there.
Okay. Let's go to Nick. Nick, what makes somebody in your? I mean, would you agree with Jim's assertion of legendary? Somebody who has accomplished a lot in a specific field or genre. Somebody who is well known, who has been pretty prolific in what they've done. And if so, who would you consider in your eyes to be legendary? Whether they're well known amongst a lot of the average fans, or whether they are more well known, who would you say is legendary?
Jim basically hit it on the head on there. And really, to be honest with you, I'm like, I can't even really add anything else on there. I'm like, as far as like well known wise, you know, if you want to keep it to wrestling, like nowadays, like this generation, I'm like, Cena would be the first one. You know, you would put on it because of the crossover he's doing now at the movies and TV and everything else he's doing. Like, he served his time in the ring. Like, he did his, what did he do, 15 years in the ring, if not longer? You know, now he's doing the, you know, doing the TV, doing the movies, you know, he's got commercials and stuff like that. You know, I'm like, you know, Randy Orton would be another one. I'm like, people know Randy, you know, because of his dad and his grandpa, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's, you know, they see, you know, they, you know, I don't know if he did anything TV related or anything like that, but I think he's just more well-known wrestling one. Enough said. God. It didn't get discharged too, I think, on top. Oh my God.
Yeah, he did.
I think that's on his biography on there. I think, yeah, it was.
We've all been discharged for that reason.
Yeah, oh no, I'm going to add something else, but that's not till later. But
perfect.
Yeah, you know, so I'm like, yeah, I can't really add anything else onto this. I'm like, Jim kind of really hit on the head on that.
I'm going to throw a name out here that the Butster thinks is a Hall of Fame worthy person. And he and Otis. I have gone back at Jesus God. Back no. He and I have gone back and forth about this. But from your opinion, from being in the industry and observing it, I can give you the credentials. In fact, let me do that first. Let me give you the credentials and I will ask you if you believe that this person, after I read their credentials, is quote-unquote Hall of Fame worthy. Now, we talked about this before, whether what is Hall of Fame worthy. I think Jim brought that up. Hall of Fame is basically what really is the Hall of Fame? Is it basically just something where, you know, hey, we're going to acknowledge somebody for what they've contributed to the industry, or is it more of a just an extra way to put a show together, to put people in? I don't really know what the whole gist of the credentials of a Hall of Fame. I think, Nick, you even brought that up as well. What exactly makes somebody Hall of Fame worthy?
Jeez. There's so many different ways you can really go about this, or to be honest with you. You're like, you know, I don't even know, like, can you put tenure on there with, like, one place? Doesn't even matter what you've done, a wrestler, referee, announcer, this, you know, commentator, anything, really. I'm like, I don't even think there's really an actual definition, to be honest with you, what Hall of Fame, you know. I think everybody's going to have their own variation of it.
All right, so let me read these credentials really quick. You ready? Here we go. Two-time WWE champion, 8-time WWE Intercontinental champion, 2 times United States champion, WWE Raw Tag Team champion 5 times with multiple people, WWE SmackDown Tag Team champion 2 times, the World Tag Team champions 2 times, Mixed Challenge winner, Money in the Bank winner 2010, 25th Triple Crown champion, 5th Grand Slam champion, first 2-time Grand Slam champion, etc., etc. Just by me reading those credentials and not giving you a name, I know Butster knows who this is, but I'm going to see if Jim and Nick know who this person that I'm referring may be. And this person is still an active wrestler in WWE. So I'm going to give you some time to think about who you may think this person is.
See, the Mixed Match Challenge thing threw me off, actually. I forgot about that gimmick they did.
Oh, there's perfect music playing in the background. It sounds very nice. And
that's 2.5 men on IFC right now.
Oh, I had someone in mind, but he's not there anymore.
I'm going to throw some I had one in there.
He's actually in AEW.
Nope. Now, this guy is currently an active person in WWE. Most improved wrestler 2008 and 2009. Tag team of the year in 2008. Match of the year in 2021. Our worst match of the year in 2021. So this person has gone back and forth, but their positive credentials definitely outweigh the negatives.
I'm going to guess, and I'm only going by the fact that he's probably been there long enough, is The Miz.
Okay, so you say The Miz. Nick, who are you saying?
Wow, he actually... Be honest with you, you probably got it there. I'm like, when he had 8-time Intercontinental Champion, I was actually thinking Jericho for some weird reason on there. But then he added all the other stuff to like Raw and SmackDown Tag Champ. I'm like,
because when you said he's still active, the first person I came before that was Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, and he's not there anymore, unfortunately. He had the IC title up once too. On top of that,
right?
I'd probably say The Miz too, but I'm like, I'm piggybacking off of Jim.
You guys are both correct. It is The Miz.
Oh, it's not me. It's actually Jim's correct. I just piggybacked off.
Let me ask you this question: in your opinion, is The Miz Hall of Fame worthy?
I think so. Hall of Fame, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
People don't realize too. I'm like, he's actually never been. I don't think he's ever been injured before either. I don't think he's ever been,
sidelined.
Yeah, exactly. You know, besides like movies and stuff like that, and you know, storyline injuries, but never like what like Rhea is doing or something like that, where legitimate injuries and stuff like that.
See, I never saw The Miz as a WWE Hall of Fame worthy type of person, but the Butster says I'm absolutely foolish, and what I'm saying is, what do they call it? Fooey. Jim, are you impressed with The Miz, what he's done in wrestling?
Yeah, for a guy who never really started out to be a wrestler, who kind of backed into the business a little bit. He's done a lot. I mean, I wasn't a fan when he was doing his run against Cena, but I mean, he's done amazing with what he's done. Like I said, his if you look at his entire, catalog of work in the long run, he definitely deserves it.
Would you agree, Nick?
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
This is good for my heart tonight.
I mean, there are a lot of guys that I would put in before him.
Well, of course,
for various reasons, for their careers, not only with the WWE but with other places that I think deserved, that actually probably should have been put in this year. It would have been great to have Bam Bam Bigelow put in this year.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree as well. I'm with you on that one. That kind of puts a bow tie on all of my talking points. Anybody else have anything they want to throw in there?
Nope. I'm good.
That's it. Good night, everybody.
Nick, give us the rundown. Where can you be seen? What's your upcoming dates and all that good stuff? I love it. Whenever I ask him, his head automatically turns to the right and he looks at the fridge.
No, it's actually my calendar. It's
your fridge.
My fridge is in front of me, actually. So on there. No, I don't got much left, actually, I believe, in April. April, I have the 27th. Which is actually H2O Wrestling presents Uninvited. We actually have another culmination of a feud on there, which is Jim's favorite type of main event, a 200 light tube death match on there. I will have fun. Yeah, God forbid. I'll pull out the day before. so we have a culmination of a feud on that. On there, that's going to be a live on IWTV, you know, 8 p.m. as always on there. You know, I know the IWTV is actually redoing their app finally, thank God, because their app was always shit. So they've even told us that too. They're the ones that actually says, like, our app sucks. I'm like, so anytime you view IWTV, I'm like, please view it on a browser. You know, if it's on group, you know, Chrome and, you know, whatever the hell you got, Firefox, if that even exists anymore. You know, good, you know, if I don't even care if you find Netscape somehow, I'm like, you know, watch it on there. Netscape. You know.
Wow. Netscape. Yeah. I don't think you're gonna find that one, Nick.
I know.
Check out MySpace.
The old variation of it.
Oh my.
Oh shit.
On there, all my social media is actually my handle, as you can see down below right there. I got it right the first time. Holy shit.
You did. It's at Rep Nick. Perfect.
All right,
let's go ahead to Jim Molino. Jim, what is the upcoming dates? I know there's a lot going on with you coming up.
Yeah, there is, but there's a lot of things being switched around, so I'm just going to jump right to May. May the 4th, there's an 80s wrestling convention in Morristown, New Jersey. Not part of the convention, but there are matches afterwards. ISPW will be putting those on. May the 10th, ISPW in Bayhead, New Jersey at Sacred Heart Parish. The show, I know Danny Morrison or Danny Doring is teaming up with Tommy Dreamer that night. On the 11th, LTW Wrestling in Old Bridge, New Jersey at the VFW. Let's see, May the 17th, that's one to switch, Mount Holly, New Jersey. So that's 20 minutes from my house. So if you guys are our local Jersey guys, Mount Holly, New Jersey for ISPW on May the 17th. And we'll finish this weekend off the 18th, ACW in Williamstown, New Jersey, which is Jason Knight's promotion. There'll be a free fan fest from 4 to 7 that day, and then the matches will be starting afterwards. And then on the 19th, return to SPO Wrestling in Burlington City, New Jersey for Johnny Cashmere.
And if anybody wants to get a hold of Jim, they can find him right there. Perfect. Add JIMMOLINAUX. Jim Molino on all forms of social media. If you'd like to go ahead and follow the Buttster, he's also at CB 79 Wooden Toy Maker. You can also find him on Facebook as well. You got some work you've been doing on some new lines of products. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, I'm just working on a couple new things, trains now, a couple new dinosaurs, and puzzles, wooden toy puzzles. So working on that. I have a market coming up May 4th, CFB Kingston. And then on May 11th, I'm at the Isabel Bader Center. It's part of the Tet Center Spring Market. Looking forward to them. And that's all I've got booked right now. Possibly a car show at the end of August. I might be sponsoring Linda and I. And that's it for now.
So people want to get a hold of you to buy some products or to look at your catalog. By the way, I found you online, and I was sharing it with my colleagues at school as well. And I was giving a commercial for it as well. And they're like, you know a lot about this. I'm like, well, it's better to talk to the man himself. But if they want to find out more about your products and whatnot, they can go to your Facebook page, correct?
Yeah, Facebook, CB79 Wooden Toy Maker. Send me a message, give me a follow, whatever it would be. All the toys I make are there, well, except for the new stuff I'm currently working on. That'll be posted once I work out the kinks and I'm happy with it. And we advertise all of our markets that are coming up. And even if it's something you want done and I don't do it, send me a message. I might be able to pull it off for you.
Perfect. I have nothing to share. I don't do anything. I don't make anything. I'm not involved in anything. This is it. This is all you got from me, which is probably something good. But I find this interesting. Did you see a 200 light tube match?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So do you have some type of deal with a light tube manufacturer? Because I'm on the old Amazon right now, and I can see where you can buy these in bundles, but that could get pretty pricey.
Yeah, nine times out of 10 people donate them. You know, stuff like that. It's old light tubes that people have. you know, at like buildings and stuff like that. As long as they're like these, the T12s, which are the good ones that actually break like correctly. The T8s are the ones that you don't want to use because they're what we call it, the skinny tubes, which don't break properly. They will actually stab you on there. So, yeah. Now, that's another topic for a different day.
I was just about to say, we need to go into light tube because I thought they were toxic as well. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, they got mercury in them.
Man, I tell you what. I don't think
they eat them.
No.
See, they eat them.
No. It's the powder. Yeah, it's the powder. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I'll probably die. I'll probably die in a ring, most likely. So, it's. I get a nice life insurance policy. My wife will appreciate it. So.
Way to go, Flair. Way to go. Yeah. Woo! My God. All right, guys. For Jim Molyneux, for Nick Papaji, for the wooden toy maker himself. His name is Christopher Butt. I'm Mike Freeland. It has been fun. It has been real. We will catch you on the next episode of Front Row Material and Front Row Referee.